The Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We had been discussing chapter 17, three types of Shraddha, so threefold Shraddha, threefold faiths. And what we have seen so far is, we all have faith in something or other for our happiness. We are all seekers of happiness. So we all have one single goal, to be happy. To get that state where there is no unhappiness, that means the state of perfection. That's all we are seeking. So we all have faith. And depending on that faith, everything that we do will be regulated or will be done. So first thing we have seen is the ahara. In other words, what we consume from this world is dependent on my faith on something or some things. I have a faith in vegetarian food, I'll take vegetarian food. I have a faith in non-vegetarian food, I'll take non-vegetarian food. I have faith in junk food, I'll take junk food. Depending on my faith, I will consume from this world what I consider appropriate for me. The next comes yajna. My connection with the world, my interaction with the world is also in accordance with my faith. The way I feel comfortable in the west end of Richmond, I'll be freely roaming around. I don't feel comfortable on the south side of Richmond, I'll be restricted. Don't come out of my car. So my interaction with the world and the connection with the world is also dependent on my faith. So that's a yajna. Aharaha. Yajna, what I consume, how I connect. The next comes tapas. How I discipline myself to get what I want from life in this world is also dependent on my faith. I have faith in medication to control my blood pressure and my cholesterol, or I have an exercise and dieting. What I have faith in? If I don't have faith in something, I will not pursue that. So even my discipline, the way I discipline my life, tapas, is also dependent on my faith. In the last, we have seen is dana, charities. What I give back to the world, what I consume from the world, how I connect with this world, how I discipline myself, what I give back to the world, will all be, according to this chapter, is dependent on my faith. And Bhagavan said, this faiths can be classified in three different categories. One is sattvic faith. I have faith that is helping me in my evolution, in pursuing my goal of that perfection, which will lead me to that ultimate happiness. Those faiths are sattvic faith. Then there are some faiths which will be classified as rajasic, more passionate, and driven by my passions in this world. And they will give me temporary happiness, but also lead me to unhappiness. Because everything in this world which has the capacity to give me happiness has equal capacity to give me unhappiness. So the rajasic faith, faiths which are giving me temporary happiness, but also does not make me go any further in my quest for the perfection, for the ultimate happiness or the infinite happiness which I'm seeking. So those are the rajasic faith. In last one we have seen are called the tamasic faiths, which will actually devolve me from where I am. What I have done so far, I have come to a point, but now my faiths have fallen into tamasic category, it will put me back to where I started. It's like I'm in a deep sleep And suddenly I started waking up, and I wake up, but then again I fall back into the deep sleep. You know? So I was evolving from my state of ignorance to the knowledge, but then I get tired of my pursuit and devolve back into tamas. So those are tamasic faiths. Now all these three faiths, as we have seen, are the moods of my mind, and they are for me to introspect my own quest of happiness in this life. Whether I'm making progress in my quest for perfection, or I'm just going in circle, which is rajasic, I get a happiness, come back again, get happiness, unhappiness, and happiness, unhappiness. So it looks like I'm doing a lot of work, but I'm not going in. It is like running on a treadmill. Unless you watch that gauge which says you have walked 5 miles, you are actually at the same spot. That gauge tells me I have walked 5 miles. But if you ask somebody, Neil, you had been there where you were when you started. So whether I am pursuing in a rajasic way, so it seems like I'm making a progress, but I'm getting back to where I started. Or tamasic, it's you fall back into deeper troubles of ignorance. So these are the three faiths what we have discussed. So one thing we have seen, that all our actions will have the results in accordance with this. But then we also see sometimes that two of us working in a same manner will get two different results. And Bhagavan says that's because of the intentions. With what intention I have started this. You also start a medical practice, and he also starts a medical practice. He seemed to be getting more recognition, you are not. He said, why is that? Because he probably started to serve the people, and you started to make money. One who is serving the people gets more recognition because of the intention. He is doing exactly the same thing the other person is doing, but because of his intention, he is getting more, quicker and better results. So Bhagavan says the intentions also count. So even though I may not be perfect in my pursuit, and I may not be the best judge of my intentions, I actually can always fall back onto something which will make my intentions purer and clearer in anything I do at any given time. Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdeshaha Brahmanaha Trividaha Smritaha. Om Tat Sat. So these are the three indicators of the Brahman in our Vedas and Upanishads. These three are indicated as the ultimate truth. They're indicating the same truth in three different ways. Brahmanaha tena Vedascha Yagnascha Vihitaha Pura. In this world I have come to know that the Brahmanas know this knowledge about the Brahman. They know about it and they give it out through their knowledge of Vedas. And they are performing yajna. So the knower of the Brahman is the Brahmana. They practice their knowledge is yajna. The knowledge is Veda. They came out of the ultimate truth, which is the Om Tat Sat. These are the three indications. Om is the transcendental indication. It has come from the Mandukya Upanishad, which says we are aware of these three states of existence: waking, dream, and deep sleep. My existence, I am very aware in these three states. I am aware while I am waking, I exist. I also know I exist when I am dreaming, because I know I was dreaming. And I'm also aware when I'm in deep sleep, because when I wake up, I say I had a good sleep or I did not. I'm very aware of the existence of myself in this three state. But there is a Turiya Avastha, that which transcends all three. And that Avastha is indicated by Om. So it's a transcendental indication of the ultimate truth, the Brahman. So I say that's one indication, or that's one reminder to us that there is a fourth state of existence, beyond these three states of existence, which we are very aware. We know all three of them are well accepted by all of us as the reality of our existence. What is not accepted is there any existence beyond these three? And Bhagavan said these three only exist because of their fourth one, the Om, which binds all of us together. So he says Om. The next one is Tat. In that great Mahavakya, Tat Tvamasi. Tvam, I am very much aware. I know who I am. But that which I am seeking, the one who seemed to have a control over me, that, Tat, it seemed right now further away from me. It seemed like it is something I am not familiar with. That is also the indication of that binding reality which binds all the existence. I'm aware of this existence, I'm aware of your existence, I'm aware of the existence of this world. But is there a binding force, a binding entity which binds my existence with your existence and the existence of the world? That's Tat. And the last one is Sat. Sat we have seen in Vedanta. That which remains true in all three periods of time. If that was true yesterday, it has to be true today, and it has to be true tomorrow, then it's the Sat. It's the ultimate reality. Everything we can try in this world will not pass this test. Neil Bhatt, before 1948, not in existence, today in existence, after probably some time. So I don't pass that test. So is everything in this world. But something which makes this reality possible always existed. So that's a Sat. Sat is always true. Ultimate truth, also called ultimate existence. I existed yesterday, I exist today, I'll exist tomorrow. But if I extend this time period, it will not be true. So today I'm true. For yesterday I was true, and tomorrow I'll be true, hopefully. But if I stretch my time limit before my birth and after my death is not, then what happened to my existence? The existence remained, I did not remain. I, the ego. So that is indicating that beyond ego, my existence is Sat. Ego was created, will die, but I will remain. That is Sat. These are the three indicators are indicated in Shastras about that ultimate reality. And all the other knowledge which we know about the spiritual science of evolving myself from this limited being to unlimited being, the Brahmanas, they know about this. So they are the knower. Vedas is the knowledge. And the Yajnas are the practice, application of the knowledge. You know. See, all these are also created from the ultimate reality only, Bhagavan saying. Tasmad Om iti udahrutyah yagna dana tapah kriyaha. So now we say, how can we use this? Now that we know that my faith may not be the most appropriate for my evolution, my mind may be tricking me. I always think I'm right. So everybody says this, but I think, no, this is right. Then after a long time, I realized I was wrong all along. But my mind was tricking me. My intellect wasn't sharp enough to detect that I was having a faith in a wrong thing. Earth is flat. I had a complete faith before somebody figured out, no, it's round. Earth revolves around the sun. Well, I did not have faith in that. I thought the sun revolves around Earth. Complete faith. Till somebody says that faith was incorrect. So my faith right now, even though very firm, may not be correct. So Bhagavan said, therefore, before you apply your faith in anything, and then go by your what you consume from this world, how you interact with this world, what you give back to this world, how you discipline yourself, remember only one thing. Om is the transcendental reality. So you can offer everything attached to it. once you attach to it, it all gets purified. So I may be incomplete in my intention. I may be giving a charity, a donation to Hindu Center, with a rajasic motive of having my name on that pillar. But if I say Om and then do it, it gets purified. Therefore, it's called a Nirdesha Vakya. Nirdesh indicator. Constantly indicating why I'm doing this. Why I'm doing this? I want perfection. I want perfect happiness. That's why I'm doing it. How am I going to get the perfection? Once I know what the perfection is all about. And that perfection is Om. So anything I do, if I start with that, it gets purified. So one thing we have said, the two people having the same actions can get different results according to the intentions. If I constantly have my intention transcendental, then my results will also be transcendental. So Bhagavan said, Tasmad Om iti udahrutyaha yagnaha danaha tapaha kriyaha. Here comes the prescription. Here is an advice from the Bhagavan. The three indicators of the ultimate reality, the ultimate perfection is given in our Upanishads and Shastras. Om Tat Sat. You can also read that as in a sentence. Om is that ultimate existence truth. So that which is currently not available to me in my perception, my reality right now is transient reality. Summer is here, the fall will come. Fall will go and winter will come. It's a transient reality. But what do I have faith in? Nature. I know that after summer, the fall will come. After fall, the winter will come. That I have faith in. That's a transcendental reality for me. Whether it's a summer outside or fall, my transcendental reality is nature will always have this cycle in the same order as human beings have observed. So I never have to worry about it and say, oh boy, what will happen if they skip winter this time? Or now from the summer, we will go back to the spring again. We never have to worry about that. We never have to rake our brain. Or there will not be riots in Richmond, you know, because the nature is not now following its cycle. So I have a transcendental faith. The same transcendental faith I should have in that transcendental reality, which is beyond my perception of waking, dream, deep sleep, you know, or I in the world reality. The Bhagavan said, therefore, before you do anything, consume anything from this world, remember it comes from that transcendental reality. Before you connect with this world, you remember that this world also comes from the same transcendental reality. Before you any discipline yourself by tapas or give any charity, you're only giving back to Tera Tuzko Arpad. Why? If I remember that what I'm giving back is already I have taken from this world. It's like you give your son $100 and then he goes and buy a $10 gift for you. But you are very happy. As long as I know that it all came from him, my charities will be purified, my yagnas will be purified, my tapas will be purified, and what I consume will be purified. So Bhagavan said, Tasmad omiti udahrutyaha yagna dana tapa kriyaha pravartante vidanuktaha satatam brahmavadinam. Now who does this? Brahmavadinam. We have the different vad, samajvad. Whatever I follow, have a faith in, or seeking, is what called vad. This vad, that vad. Vad means something I'm aligning with, something I'm seeking with. So brahmavadinam, those who are seeking Brahman. If I'm not seeking Brahman, he says, that's fine. You can remember anybody you want to remember. But if you're a Brahmavadinam, Bhagavan doesn't say that do this. He said, this is what the Brahmavadinam do. Brahmavadinam, these people who are seeking Brahman. Who are seeking Brahman? Those who are seeking perfection. Who are seeking perfection? Who want infinite happiness? And who are those people? us. We are all. Pravartante vidhan uktaha brahma satatam brahmavadina. Satatam is the operative word. Always. Bhagavan said that those who are seeking this perfection seriously and constantly, they utter this word Om. In other words, they remember the transcendental reality before they do anything. And that remembrance, that awareness that there is a reality beyond the reality I know, will purify everything I do. And therefore, I will get the best results out of my actions. The next one says, Tad iti anabhisandhaya phalam. Now, other way to look at it, I say that those who wants to get liberated from this bondage, Brahmavadinam are those jnanis who want to achieve Brahman. Those who knows that perfection is the only way I can be perfectly happy. There is no other way. They will remember the transcendental reality, Om. Om, A, U, Ma, waking state, dream state, or a deep sleep state. There is something beyond my this existence. I am finding that state where there will be no unhappiness. Others said, I'm tired of these limitations. I feel bound by these limitations. I'm not tall enough. I'm not powerful enough. I'm not strong enough. I want to get out of these limitations. I want liberation from all these bondages. I need to feel free of this. So where is the freedom? Swamiji says that modern man doesn't think he is bound or under any kind of a bondage, but we are under the bondage of our mind. Our mind is shackling us into the limitations. This is me. I cannot do this. I cannot achieve this. I will never be able to get this. This bondage is superimposed on myself. And I want to get rid of this. If I want to get rid of it, then I need to remember that which does not have any limitation or any bondage. So he said, Tat iti anabhisandhaya phalam yagna tapaha kriyaha. And those people say, I do not want anything that I think is finite from my actions. Anabhisandhaya, not attaching to the phalam, to the fruit. So basically karma yoga. I do think, but not with any preconceived notion of what will come out of this, because that binds me. So anything I do, if I attach the result to it, I'm bound by that. And therefore, I'll be disappointed or elated. But those who want to have moksha, liberation, they say whatever comes out of, I need to be liberated from this limitation. So therefore, he says, dana kriyascha vividaha kriyante mokshakangshibhe tat iti abhisandhaya phalam. Uttering tat, I'm doing this, but my goal is to achieve this perfection. Therefore, I'm not attaching any particular result, which is limited in its nature, to my yagna, dana, tapa, kriya. Everything I do, if I do with that detachment from the fruits of actions, I remember him, tat, that, not this, tvam, this, that. I'm not doing for this I need all the finite results, but I'm doing for that, I want infinite results. So I'm actually have a higher goal in everything I do. Kriyante moksha kangshibhi, those who want to get liberated from the limitations. So the differentiation, the first one we said is, one is a Brahmavadinam. They are immersed into the thought of Brahman. They are not even concerned with their bondages, but they are Brahmavadinam. They constantly remember Om before doing anything, and they will be connected with that. Right now my situation is, I feel bound by these limitations and I want to get rid of it. Then I say, Tat. I'm going to start everything with that. Krishna Arpanam, Shiva Arpanam, and we'll stop right here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina. Sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.